talk about forgiveness, I want to share something with you that I haven't shared. I guess I've shared it with everybody. But I was taught a couple lessons when I first got saved. And that was one on true love and one on forgiveness. And this wasn't here. But true love came when I accepted the Lord and I called my wife, and I could go on, but we bickered back and forth who was going to talk. And I was calling my wife to get her to go to a crusade with me in La Crosse. Now, we were divorced. Put it out flat. I ran around. I drank. I did it all. And when I called her, she had heard about it and wanted me to listen because she wanted to go. But one of the things she told me during that time is, Denny, I have always loved you. You want to be brought to your knees? I ran around. I drank. I was mean. I was vindictive. I was hateful. I was angry. All of that come from childhood and a war. The only thing I knew was to come out on top. And look what it got me. Now, from that, all I want to say is people can take that and say, look at that jerk. He's up there talking. That's what the Lord wants me to do. I am forgiven. Believe it or not, you owe me the same forgiveness. And no matter what you've done, I owe it for you. I shared something with the pastor the other day when we were having lunch, and it's that God has started me thinking about these people that react, and I'm one of them sometimes, to start thinking of, why did they do that? I don't know. So back off a little bit. You know, I shared one time when before I got saved, I was down at the old Jupiter store on Milwaukee Street. And I was young. I was taught to hold the door open for ladies and be courteous and blah, blah, blah. So I grabbed the door and opened it up for this lady, and she come on glued on me. She thought I was trying to steal her purse. And I put the door shut back. I said, well, this is how I was taught. And I didn't say very nicely, and said, here, open the door yourself. Well, I got partway there, didn't I? But the Lord wanted me to just share with you, when we say we love, do we love like Christ? My wife loved like Christ. And no matter how bad a day I have, how PTSD comes back, she loves me. I can count on her. Now, we've taken our vows 3-4 times. I guess we're trying to get used to it. But we have done that, and we've made a promise to each other, no matter what, until we're dead, we're there. It ain't easy. And one of the reasons, I walk steps of 3 feet, she walks steps of 6 inches. We got to be compatible. I got to slow down. She's got to speed up. But in life, we're supposed to love each other. And Christ said, love your enemies. You know what I was taught? Kill your enemies. John? It's pretty hard when you have a grandma that was another Corrie Ten Boom. Remember the lady that had grooves in the floor from praying? That was my grandma. To have that early on in your life and then put in where we were put in. For people that demonstrated and didn't like us and accused us of killing babies. So when I come back, I was angry. Mess with me? I'm a little guy, I'll get you. Right, John? One way or another, you got. But Christ got a hold of my heart. And all that anger didn't make sense. It just don't work. Look at the people now. They walk around so angry, so self-centered, they couldn't get love in their heart if they tried. The only way it will get there is the Holy Spirit. And your job is to pray it there. So I look around and I wonder, when is the Lord going to come back? When he's ready. When he's ready. And I want to say this. This just came besides this. We get so tired of hurting and pain and anger and the stuff going on. I don't know about you, but sometimes I say, Lord, just take them out of here. Just get rid of them. What's he say? Love your enemies. Do good to those that hurt you, persecute you. That's totally against our grain that we were taught, right, John? It's easier to just get rid of somebody like they wanted to get rid of Jesus. What gets me is how a man that put himself in our place could take on what he did and still love me, who did everything contrary to what he taught. It amazes me. And God's teaching me something, and my wife will tell you it ain't all there yet. But now when I get angry, not all the time, but I'll take my dog and I'll go outside and I'll sit in a chair and play with the dog. Or I'll say, I've had enough, I'm taking a ride, and I'll get in my truck and I'll go for a drive. There's a song there. Anyway, Pastor shared that he a lot of time goes out back. The thing that gets me the most that I can get a hold of is God's creation. It's really pure. It's designed to do what it's going to do. And there's not a whole lot we can do about it. And so that's my peace. And I'd encourage all of you to find that spot where you can connect with something of God. Me, it's nature. I used to climb up in a tree at 5 o'clock in the morning and never get down until 5:30 at night. And I remember one time when I was doing that, I heard this shh. I was ready to bail. But I look over and here's this little flying squirrel about that far from me looking in his eyes. I thought, wow, is that cool? And was it peaceful? The calmness and the greatness of that whole thing just made me connect to God's creation. Well, maybe you're not a tree climber. I'm not anymore either. But you got to find something to get there. You got to find something where you can walk away, look calamity in its eyes, and say, uh-uh, I'm going over here. I think this world has got us wired so tight, it's hard to do that. But I'm finding that if the more time I spend with God, the more real I am when I'm coming unglued, the closer I feel to him, because I'm being real to him. I'm not trying to hide anything. Okay, that just what come on me here. Okay, so I got a question. How many of you enjoyed the service last week? What did you think about it? Give me your thought on something. Cora. God was here. Didn't most of us sense that? And I thought that over, and I was talking to the Lord. I said, you know why you're here, God? Because we had a connection. We didn't concentrate on what was out there or what happened before we come here. We just concentrated on Him. And the more we did, the more the Spirit flowed. Right? His word tells us to shut out the cares of this world. When we come into this place, but there's something that has to start before that. Preparing for our time with Him. Praying for Him to overshadow all that stuff. Preparing to know that He's in charge. There is nothing in this world that's going to happen or does happen that He didn't already know. So why in this world do we think we can't come in here and have real Spirit-filled church? We got slow cookers, for crying out loud, for lunch. Here's one that usually gets us as a family. Well, you know, I got this problem at home, or my kids this, or we did that. Give it to God, and you don't have to worry about that. You're going to probably say, well, Denny, there's reality. Yeah, it's real. God is in charge. God will handle it all. It is us that stops it. You get what I'm saying? Oh, well, I got a call a couple months ago, and my dad died. I cried. Because I didn't get up there. We weren't feeling too good. But you know what? God knew this happened. He knew my heart. He knew my feelings. And that's that. Right? We get so out of control trying to be in control. It's ridiculous. I think sometimes there was a friend of mine over in the Bosco Bell Church that when we were on the board, it said, Denny, sometimes you're your own worst enemy. And I stopped. Now, I literally stopped in my tracks and looked at him and said, what are you? Wait a minute. And God started to reveal me. I was using my trained personality to be ahead of things all the time. When I look at this world right now, it breaks my heart how messed up it is. I got two sons that work for Rock County. They're the pride of my life. They grew up with a dad that was pretty mean, pretty tough. And one of them, when I had my heart trouble, laid his hand on my shoulder and he said, Dad, don't you leave me now. You're what made me. What you did, what you taught me, made who I am today. Now I got 16 grandkids, 17 grandkids, and 16 great-grandkids. I didn't need all them feathers. But I love them all. We just can't handle them all at the same time. But in this, God started just putting it on my heart is we have to be real with God. We say, oh, I surrender all, I surrender all. Oh, the supper's going to burn. I ain't going to get home in time. It's going to burn. Or my kid's in trouble and you know, they're just out. I got to be there. Just answer something. Is that letting go and let God? Do you know, was it the centurion that wanted God to come and heal his daughter? Here's a man that only knew of Christ and what he was teaching. And it was really contrary to some of his beliefs, natural beliefs. And he said, all you have to do is touch them. Or say the word and they are healed. How much faith you got? How much faith have I got? When my dad was in for cancer, my stepdad was just as much a dad as my real dad, because my real dad died at 46. They gave him, was it 18% chance of living through the surgery or less? He said, I'll be fine. When he got out of the surgery, it was no time we were in talking to him. He said, if the Lord wants me, he can have me. Wasn't done with him yet. Let me tell you something. Have you ever been in the place where you wanted to die? Some of you? Because not only was the threat or the pain so much, you were just so disappointed with life. You were not getting a sense of love or caring, and you just had enough. Well, that's where I was when I'd lost my wife and kids, and I was headed for an overpass with my motorcycle. And because of my grandma and what she was, at that very minute, something struck me, and I hollered, God, help me. Don't ask me how he did it, but there was a guy I used to run with that became a Assembly of God pastor. Betrayed me. But anyway, I ended up in front of his house. And I remember he went shooting a bucket. And then he turned around and he said, I knew you were coming, Dan. I was so mad I about knocked his lights out. How is that possible? How was it possible? The Holy Spirit. What I want to say in that is if we are hungry enough, God will be there for all those dilemmas. But I don't think we always are. We let all these things that I've already mentioned get in the way. Now, death doesn't scare me. But I cry real easy over it because of so many going without not knowing the Lord. And I begged the Lord. I said, Lord, use me in any way you can. You know what I got out of that? I got somebody pretty quick that come up to me and said, well, that's not my gifting. I got mad. I got super mad. And the reason I did is self took over. Hey, God just told me, what are you talking about? Well, here's what I want to say about that. If you really let God be in charge of your life, don't be surprised if when before the only thing you could do was bake a cake, he hands you a wrench to fix something. If you really are available, he is the source to get her done. Think about that. Now, Linda used to tell me, and still does once in a while, she talks about kids, and she says, God will save them. And to be honest with you, I got a little short about that because it's their will that's going to keep them or not keep them. But my grandma prayed about me, my brothers, and how old was that, Bonnie? 22, 3 before I woke up? I got a daughter right now that thinks every religion is good, it's their God. That don't make it a true God, does it? The only thing I can say, but there's only one God, Amen. And I'm going to pray about this. So I guess in that point what I'm saying is we get overzealous sometimes. And we need, did you notice Jesus, whatever happened, he was calm as a cucumber. Didn't bother him. He was in the hand of his Father, right? How big a hands this guy got? He had big enough hands to pick my motorcycle and me up and take me blocks away to another guy's house. It's real, guys. What amazes me is he can take somebody like me and bring me to the point of being painful over somebody just like me that I don't like. But I've come around a little bit. I didn't like me, but now I kind of love me because God loves me. And he's the boss. He's the creator. He can take anything you have messed up and make good come out of it. My dad, I don't remember times, he would be gone for weeks at a time. He had another lady down by Boaz. So we were kind of just a stop by. And when he stopped by, I usually got a pretty good overhauling. Now, I could use that and go on and on into some stupid hate game. But you know, when my dad died, I was so angry. Not at what had passed, but at what I didn't get done. I didn't get a time of, I'm sorry. I forgive you. I miss him. And now, recently, I've lost my mom and stepdad. Let me tell you something. For years, my wife and I, we've been down here, no relatives, no nothing, sorry. And not family to help on anything. And one Christmas, I told Bon, I got to go home. I don't remember what she said, but I said, I got to go up and see Ma. So I went up. Mom was doing dishes after lunch, and we just as kids naturally were taught to get up and help with dishes. We didn't have to be told. She's washing, you wipe. She's wiped, you're washing. No question thought about anything. Well, anyhow, we were there, and we were almost done, and I was drying the last dishes, and Mom took the rag and started going over washing the refrigerator. And I said, Mom, I got to ask you something. And she just said, I said, no, I want to ask you something. I said, can I ever recall a time in my life or the rest of the kids' life that we heard, I love you? You done that? So I asked her again. So I went over and I put my hands on her shoulders and I gently turned around and I put my hands on her cheeks. And I broke down. And I said, Mom, I would die for you. I love you. I miss you. I want to be loved. And Mom grabbed me and squeezed me. And every time I went home after that, she had to kiss, hug me, and say, I love you. What's the lesson in that? Somebody had to break the ice. Did she not love me? No, she's a mother. She raised me and the other kids without my dad around most of the time. And she did things that Ina shared, kind of that was just natural for survival. And she had it rough. So sometimes I got the belt or the broom handle or whatever was close out of anger. You know what happened to me one time after that? My son had went up to see Bonnie's mom. He had a Firebird, which we knew what was coming. First thing he had to do is drop the engine and put a bigger one in it. So he goes up to see the grandparents, and we get a notice that the roads are going to be closed because of a snowstorm. Pull us in. We call him. Where are you? You're supposed to be home. The old temper of Denny's just boiling. I'm at the point where I could move a Brahma bull. And what's the kid do when I tell him to stay there until the storm's over? Drove home. When I seen that car come in the driveway, I got to the woodshed garage before he did. And when he opened that door, I said, "What are you doing?" And Wade, chip off the old block, "Why don't you have a bird, Dad?" I popped him. I said, "Get up to your room." Now, there's a kid that could be where I was a few years earlier in service. And I got thinking about that, and I got broke. Do you know, Denny, that you just hit him out of anger, and you don't even know how hard you hit him? Who was telling me that? The Lord. And I sat a while, and I went upstairs, and I sat down by him, and I said, "Wait, I'm so sorry." He said, "Dad, I had it coming." I said, "I am sorry." He said, "Dad, I should have never did the things I did." He broke both of us at the same time. I guess what I'm sharing in all of this is, if we want God to fill our lives, answer our needs, take care of us, we have to be humble all the time. And if you can't, he'll get you there. He got me there when I couldn't have my wife. I couldn't have my kids. I was at the point, she had a restraining order on me a little while. Did that tell you anything? But guess what happened? I'm here today. I have my family back. They love me, and I would do anything for them. So here's a guy that's so screwed up he doesn't know where, what, or when, is angry beyond normality. I have, and this, I'm not bragging, but one time I was up home and a guy pulled something on me and was right in front of my dad's restaurant in Pool Hall. I come unglued on that guy and I was beating his head in the cement sidewalk. And my mom, up on the hill, said, "Denny, you little choice words," because she had dad's anger and I had dad's anger. Another time I was down to Beloit and somebody sucker pumped you, I did the same thing. And when I walked away from it, I thought, I could have killed them. I could have killed them. My wife has seen that anger. I'm scared to death of me sometimes. She loves me. She loves me. God walked in her as an example of love that I had never seen in my life. All I'm trying to say in all of this is when you have all these issues and anger, or you have all of these misunderstandings, or I don't know why this has happened or that, remember, God knew it before it happened. He might be trying to teach you something. And I've come to screaming out loud, why? To saying, there's a lesson in this. I got to start looking for it. I'll go this far. There's the reason that all of us are in this place right now. You know what I think one of them is? There's so many churches out there that have lost their way. And I've been, we and my wife have been nailed by that a couple times in churches. When we came here, we had went to that, excuse me, both ends are running. We went up to that something on the hill, Pastor, what was it? That up by the tower, city on the hill or something like that, I don't know. We went to that service, and right away we knew this wasn't it. Matter of fact, it was full of people that jumped all over churches. And we came here. It didn't take long. God told us we were going to be here. That bugged me a little bit because I wanted to kind of choose my church. But he chose it for me. Now I'm going to go and maybe end with this. When God saves us, what does he save us for? John. And do his work. Let me tap back in it. Well, this is not my calling. God can do all things through. But those who yield to him, those who turn to him, those who submit. But God gives us the abilities that we don't even know we have. And be open to that. Be open to be used wherever he wants you to be used. Whenever we have issues, if you're a child of God, remember this. They're his problems. Well, ask my wife about Denny. I got to get it done. I got to fix that. I've never asked for help. And it's been a curse. It has been a curse at times. And now at my age, I'll be 98 here coming in June. I can still dance your heels off. But I have had to slow down on certain things. But that don't mean I got to quit on everything. So please, quit saying that's not my calling. Please don't say I can't do that. Please help me to remember when somebody gets in my face, calm down. They have a reason for their actions. Right now I'm going through family things where since I come home from the war, I've never been really accepted. My wife couldn't tell you. I'm the black sheep of the family, no matter what I do. Even though my brother followed my footsteps, he's it. But you know what? Family's important to me, but not more important than God. It is not in my makeup anymore to really get caring about all that stuff. I'm trying to build in my makeup to be God's child and to be available at all times for anything. So I this has been rolling in my head for months. I told the pastor, these words kept ringing in my head. And it was all about being available. It is about what are we here for. It's about are we really yield to God. And I'm not going to point fingers because there's too many of you could put 10 toward me. But I want all of us to examine ourselves and really ask, how available am I? How ingrained are my habits or my life that I'm hindering my ability to serve the Lord? I'm kind of putting that on you because it got put on me, and I like company. In other words, let's not limit to God and his power and what he's going to do. And if you want to come in here and worship and ask God for things, let me ask you something. When you were a child and your mother and dad told you to do something and you ignored them, did they get your attention? Well, God's not going to kick you upside the head, but he's going to allow things to happen until you wake up. I hope you get what I'm trying to get through. Be available and don't be so much you. And the word has given us all the directions. You know, forgive your enemies. Be available. Love. Give your all to God. We got a lot of things he's told us to do, and I want us to look and see, are we really doing it? I'm having trouble. And I think the reason I've been put in this church, because I got a body of people behind me and care enough for me that will speak up and help me along. That's what your job is. Care for one another, provide for one another, pray for one another. Stand strong when the world comes up against you. Only let God come up with the power of what you need and how you need it. I just got one more thing and I'll let go. I could go on. I want to say this to you and think about it. Why do we pray? I want a couple of people to tell me. Why do you pray? For answers. Okay? Here's something that just popped up to me just a few days ago. We don't pray to inform God. We pray to involve God. Be honest with yourself. When you pray, how's that coming across? Can you honestly say with me, it's because we want God to do something? How about just calling on God and say, I'm yours. You take care of this. And leave it. That's the hard part, right? Leave it. When I think of that, I think of the Lord in turning the other cheek. My wife looked like a truck run over one time when she slapped me in the face because I got a rifle that busted me all up, messed up my head, messed up my trust, messed up everything. And without even thinking, she was the brunt of it. The miracle, she loves me. The miracle, we've been back together for how many years? 49? 49 years. Has it been fun? We're as different as day and night. But do not let anybody mess with my wife. I love her. And ain't nobody gonna mess with her. Christ loves you that much. Can you accept it? Can you leave it there? I'm going to end with this. I come across this, and Pastor's going to play it, put it up. And I want you to, I think he's going to have the word scrolling, right?